Move on to something else. It's that even great musicians can have their off days. Sometimes even the most creative bands and artists can produce some real turkeys. The one song I'm pretty sure they'd love to delete and expunge forever, but sorry, those songs, you know, they haven't gone away. Simon Marr has been unearthing some of these gems for us this morning, and he's here now. Before I even ask you a question or say good morning, there's this. Basically, this has to be subjective. There isn't one band or one act in the history of human music down through the years that hasn't released something so crap you just can't believe they actually did it. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely true. And I should, and I feel like the person from your Ed Sheeran piece earlier on, staying with, I'm not a musical snob, but but I have to say, there's 12 acts we're going to talk about this morning, and I have to say, I like all 12 of them, right? I think that's an important thing to say, right, from the very start of these. Is these are all 12 artists who have disappointed me greatly by the release of these particular songs.
Sure, listen, I could start a whole argument just on one thing. The Beatles, my favourite of all time, probably think. The Ringo songs, discuss. There isn't one good one.
That is probably a fair point. I when I was reading about this,
I can feel the text coming in. What about Live and Love, my friends? No, yeah. That's not very good, really.
No. When I was reading about this last night, I was, you know, checking with and asking a few people. Said, so, you know, what's the Beatles' greatest sin? And we'll come to what I view musically as the greatest sin in a while. But generally, the consensus was, what's the Beatles' greatest sin? Everybody said Wings. That's where it went.
That's not the Beatles.
I know, but everybody says it begat, the Beatles begat Wings, and that was more of a sin than any song they released ever was. I think it's Mullican Tar. Mullican Tar is done for people.
Oh, really? Yeah, the Frog Chorus. Okay, go on. So what are we talking about here? Crap music from good bands.
Yeah, so it's really good bands. So let's start with one of the biggest in the world. So we'll start with U2, right?
Well, they have loads of crap songs.
Yeah, but they have released some phenomenally good music over the years.
Amazingly brilliant albums.
Yes, yeah. But they have managed to find themselves, and it's, pardon the pun again, they've managed to find themselves the occasional Lemon as well, but Pop
Lemon sounds like that song.
No. But I suppose one of the most divisive albums that U2 ever released was Pop. Right. So
1997,
and it was different. It was experimental and all that stuff, and they deserve enormous credit for it. I'm quite a fan of Pop. But,
I know a lot of people who are.
Yeah, but there are dubious moments, and one of the most dubious moments, and I think possibly the most dubious moment of U2's release history, is the first track that we're going to play, and it's one called Miami.
Oh, Miami's not very good, no.
No.
Listen, go back to the Unforgettable Fire. They had about 2 days left to finish the album and said, we better come up with something. So they came up with a song called, and even the title, come on, Elvis Presley and America. Please, lads, call it a day. There was enough tracks on it already. Okay, let's try a little bit of Miami. Pretty good, actually. And some good old kind of staccato guitar-y stuff from the edge in the song,
you know,
if I remember
it's
right.
It's better, there's a live version, by the time they went into the Pop Mar tour, there's a live version of it, and it actually sounds much better, because I reckon they've sat and they've listened to the album in a tour bus somewhere and kind of gone, this is muck, we better do something to it. And the live version of it actually works out okay.
Well, if there's one band who can look at their back catalogue and say, God, that wasn't very good, it's you too. They constantly look back and stuff and say, oh gosh, I don't know about that.
And this is because I had a sort of a crisis of conscience on this, because it came down to a choice of Miami or Get On Your Boots, you know, and it was just Miami.
That was a good laugh, though.
Yeah, but Miami just about managed to win out on that. But once again, as we keep saying, this is all about the idea of really good bands who have released really good songs,
right,
who also then release.
I'm sure there's a few texts
ones
going to come in and say how great Miami is and what we're missing out on. Full essays
will there
coming
really?
Out. Say, yeah, we don't think so, no. Anyway, 51552 if you want to, in terms of great people doing crap stuff. And remember, every great person in music has done
absolutely
crap stuff.
Absolutely.
No question. Okay, give us something else.
Right, Van Halen.
Van Halen, are they great, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Van Halen had their moments. I have to say, I've blared Panama probably a little bit too loud on occasion. But Dancing in the Street was re-recorded by Bowie and Mick Jagger for Live Aid, you know, and people have their own views on the song, and particularly I think their views are somewhat coloured by the video that came out for Dancing in the Street.
Yeah, but the big flouncy shirt of Mick's.
Yeah, and the legs kicking and all that stuff. But it has been covered many times, and it has been covered in a great deal of seriousness by a lot of people. I suppose at least when Bowie and Jagger covered it, they weren't necessarily taking themselves all that seriously. Van Halen then went on to cover it, you know, and did a cover version of it that is really not good, and is one of the lessons for a lot of bands that very few people have ever done a good cover version of something like Dancing in the Street, and the lesson in here is probably
so leave it alone.
Don't.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Oh. There's a lot of cowbell going on there.
There is. It's all wrong.
There's a text there that says from the Pop Mart, the Pop album, if you wear that velvet dress from the same album, was rubbish, but live it was brilliant. Actually, the funny thing is, like, the millions of bands that have been in here at night on the radio in terms of, like, whatever, and sometimes they haven't heard their own recorded music necessarily for a while because they've been out touring or whatever. They're in because they're live. And then I play it. So we play one of your songs, so I play it. Every second band's ever, wow, that sounds so slow. Is that really how it's... I haven't heard my CD for ages, kind of thing, or my album. And they realised, like, that the live version of things that can really put the life in it, that there was life in it when they thought about it and wrote it down on a piece of paper. There was life in it when they did it live. When they actually did it first in the studio, So there is always that. That was a sort of a long point, wasn't it? Van Halen, Dancing in the Street. Give us another one there.
That's cruel. That much of Van Halen's Dancing in the Street is just, it's unnecessary. The next one, Ray Davies. You know, Kinks, great band. You know, huge amount of really good songs. People who listen to Village Green. I would listen to Village Green on a regular basis.
Preservation Society.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, he released some really, really good songs. As bands get on, sometimes they reach a point where you think they should stop. The Kinks released, I can't even think of the name of the song, before there was a local, Come Dancing. You know, it's probably a little bit later on. And a little bit later still, Ray Davies wrote this song about his love of marriage, basically. And it was an ode to marriage. And it was called Labour of Love. And both lyrically and musically, it's Dave, I can't say any other word than it's horrible.
Okay, well, I tell you, I don't even know this song, so I'm going to try it now because I have it here in front of me. But the one you mentioned, Come Dancing, before that, which would have been a kind of a start of a sort of a second part of the life of the Kinks in some ways, considering the great early stuff. And I think Come Dancing is just one of the worst things
ever. Oh, it is.
I thought you were saying Come Dancing wasn't so bad, and then they really go, all right, okay, fair enough. All right, this is a Labour of Love. Then again, this is one of the greats of all time, Ray Davies. So hang your head, Ray. It's like some status quo we're putting the B-siders in.
Mr. and Mrs. Horrible fought so much that the neighbours never came around.
The neighbours don't visit, indeed. Yeah. It's just the disintegration of a marriage.
That's what happened.
I mean, it's not on some kind of a concept album, because some of the worst songs ever are some of these things on, like, I mean, with all due respect to Pete Townsend and his Quadrophenia and his Tommy and others, some of the stuff, like, you know, I don't know, Oliver Reed is a singing doctor in the movie, jeepers. Well, some of that stuff was frightening.
Well, we'll return. There's a couple of concepty ones to come, but no, that was just a regular track that was put out there, and I think people sat agape. Okay. And I think just generally the word is you just want to go, no, Ray. Yeah. Just
and your Come Dancing one is a bit like that Walk of Life by Dire Straits. Just shivers up the spine.
But I would be fascinated to know what the artists think of these. So what does Ray Davies think of Labour of Love nowadays?
Well, Ray, if you're listening, 51552, get in touch.
Let us know. Sometimes bands then decide that they're just going to do something that's particularly off the chart, and perhaps, I don't know if sometimes bands are doing it ironically, or they think they're doing it because it's great crack, or this is musical
There's
experimentation.
Nothing ironic about crap.
No, this is it. But the next one, Synchronicity from The Police, is one of my favourite albums. Definitely one of my favourite albums from one of my favourite bands, right? But on Synchronicity, there's a particular track that makes me, has convinced me that this one track that they wrote is the reason why The Police broke up. And if it's not the reason The Police broke up, it should be.
What's it called?
It's called Mother.
Mother, do I even know it? Here it goes, let's have a bash. So many bands have stuff on their albums that makes it sound like they're auditioning for Oliver or something.
Yeah, I have no idea. I can offer no explanation for why bands do these things. But for an album that's so good, like Synchronicity, to have this on it.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just said that. I'm waiting for people to say, that's fantastic, my favourite track on the album.
Somebody has bounces. Although, I think in the case of some of these, no, I don't think anybody's going to come out and publicly attach themselves to these songs.
All right, Mother is what it's called. That's from the Synchronicity album, which is an album I thought I would have known and not even know the song. And that's from, what do you call them, The Police.
From The Police.
There's one here, it says 51552. It's a month of May almost ruined the suburbs by Arcade Fire. Dreadful song, great album. It is an absolutely great album. Let's give it a blast. Sync with the rest of the album. I don't agree, I think that's fine. Month of May, and it's such a good album. The third one of the four from, what do you call them?
Arcade Fire.
Yeah, that's a month of May. Anyway, whatever, you know, dreadful song, great album. I think it's quite a good song. Anyway, go on, great album.
We will build through a crescendo. Absolutely. We will build to a crescendo of terrible song by great band a little bit later on, because there's one that I think stands out standard above all of the rest, but we'll get to that in a little while. But Queen, another great band, you know, with obviously one of the best frontmen of all time in Freddie Mercury, released some very, very good songs. There tended to be, whether they decided to go down, at one point they went down this sort of synth poppy rocky route at some point in the early 1980s, and then sort of managed to pull it back together by the mid 80s. But at some point they decided that they were going to be, I think, again, ironic or funny or whatever it is, and they released Delilah.
The Queen of a version of Delilah.
Yeah, not that Delilah. This is Delilah because it's written about a cat.
All right, okay. I'm going to get that for you in a second. There's something about all of their stuff, Queen, frankly, that, like, of the 20 biggest hits, I mean, 10 of them are awful. I mean, come on, please, you know. Like, I mean, Killer Queen is one of the greatest songs ever. But
granted.
Okay, I'll give you a bit of Delilah. How about here? It's about a cat. That's then Martha, my dear, the Beatles from the White Album. Speaking of the White Album, might we be getting there at any stage?
We may well be. Quite shortly.
Okay, there's a few more here. That's Delilah by Queen. Well, I don't know. That's a bizarre thing. Here's a Driving Home for Christmas, finished Chris Rea for me. That's from Dave and Tom Bell. If I was to name two Chris Rea songs, I couldn't. That's the only one I know. God, it's a bad start. I sort of like Mother. It reminds me of Scott Walker's Tilt Stuff, and that comes in from Michael. Okay, Mother, that was the song that I played earlier on.
From the Police.
It doesn't remind me of anything to do with Scott Walker at all, frankly, but if it does to you, it does to you, so you can like Mother. Go on, tell me more. 51552, by the way, we're looking at crap songs
from really good bands.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so you got to be good. And this
the Queen really good?
Okay, Queen have their ones. As to the next band, Weezer, right? Weezer have released two really, really good albums and about four or five other good songs, right?
Yeah, the best album they released is the one that got the worst slag.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they it took them 10 years to decide that actually this wasn't too bad. But so they went through a phase where they released a lot of stuff like Beverly Hills and various very, very dodgy stuff, but nothing, Dave, even close to as dodgy as this particular thing that they did with Lil Wayne.
Ah, is this a feat?
This is called I Can't Stop Partying.
This is Weezer, feat Lil Wayne.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Can't Stop Partying. Let's have a blast. Hold on. That kind of sounds like Weezer throwaway stuff.
Absolutely, look, there's nothing. It just starts off as a normal cheesy Weezer song with some very, very dodgy lyrics and I can't stop partying. But when feat Lil Wayne comes in a little bit later on in the song, it takes in a whole new level of horrible. But it takes him a while. It's going to take him another minute to get there.
Yeah, well, then hold on. We'll just take a look at some other stuff then while we're doing that. Just suffer through the song. Who else have you got?
We have one of my favourite bands in the world ever, particularly when I was but a lad, was Adam and the Ants. Right, and first album I ever bought in Golden Discs and John Leary on tape was Kings of the Wild Frontier from Adam and the Ants. Loved it, and then eventually
I like the video he used to swing out of the chandeliers and hit Diana Doors.
Yeah, for Prince Charming. So Prince Charming followed it up. Prince Charming has its singles on. I wasn't a huge fan of the song Prince Charming, but there's some other brilliant tracks at Scorpios and all sorts of things. But they then decided that because this is early versus mid 1980s at this stage, you got to start rapping a bit, but it's got to be white boy rap. And white boy rap comes up in at least three of the songs we're talking about, particularly the worst song of all time that we're going to play in a little while. But it comes up in our Weezer track that we're playing, and Antrap is an entire white boy rap song as well from Adam and the Ants.
Okay,
and
let's just see first of all if Weezer are at the bit you want. First of all, where's Lil Wayne? Is he there?
This is chorus number two. I think he's on after this bit, like, you know.
Right, okay. They still can't stop partying. And with the Adam and the Ants, did you do this thing in the playground?
Oh, I did the whole thing with the hands. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. I was that credible back then as well. Here we go. Lil Wayne is getting out of his car now with champagne and ladies.
Party like tomorrow is my funeral. Gotta stop mixing alcohol with pharmaceuticals. And the unusual is the fucking usual. Man, my life is beautiful and my girls are mutual. Okay, bitches, Weezer and it's Weezy. Upside down.
Yeah, not good.
Definitely not good. No.
All right, that's the Weezer one. Let's take a look at your aunt rap business and see what the problem is, because, I think you might have a point there of it. God. Please. There's one here that says, Sloop John B almost ruined Pet Sounds. Ooh, a lot of bad tracks are a way of spreading out the publishing royalties and give the drummer something to keep him quiet. That comes in from George. Not George Harrison. Ringo,
quite possibly, yes, yeah. But no, there's no excuse for Antrap, really.
No, it's awful. It never starts, really, does it?
No.
And the Burundi drums of your man. What's his name? Marco. Burundi.
Yes, yeah. And it's one of the things I loved about Adam and the Ants, the whole idea. They used to have the two drummers.
They
would play with the two drummers, and it worked very well, but it does not work very well on this.
Some things really are better left in the year they came out, and maybe, put to sleep as well. Okay, give us somebody else.
Once again, these are bad, but they're not proper bad yet. REM, Shiny Happy People. Once again, another bad. I think...
Yeah.
For me, they're up there in terms of sort of magnitude of having released such amazing music as U2, right? But REM have had a few of their moments of dodginess, and I think Shiny Happy People is as dodgy as they come.
Well, it's just a big, huge, happy pop song with your woman from the B-52s
and
Kate Pearson, whatever, but so what, They never play it live because they hate it.
Oh, yeah. They decided themselves, they didn't put on their original Greatest Hits album, but they put it down on the album, the 2011 version they did, which is part lies, part heart, part truth, part garbage.
And holy record company.
Yes.
That one's been spoken of so often in terms of various things like that in the programme. So give us something else.
It's not fair on the legacy of REM to have released this. Right, there's two now that are just bizarre. Okay, where Johnny Cash and Neil Young are the next two. And they're just odd.
Neil is the man, and he has 40 albums of crap stuff as well, Some of the stuff Neil Young has brought.
But some of it is just utterly bizarre. But let's start with Johnny Cash, right? Among Johnny Cash's classic songs, you won't find this next one. This song is called Chicken in Black. Okay, and the idea is that Johnny Cash's brain has been transplanted into the body of a chicken and vice versa. Apparently, he was doing it to get out of a record company contract, had to release something, and this was it.
Yeah, Neil Young has released a whole album on that level. Okay,
Chicken in Black.
As opposed to Man in Black.
He said, I know this doctor in New York, son, and he'll fix you right up with a brand new one.
Okay, hold on a second. But see, that is what it is. Obviously. I mean, it's not as though you ever thought for 1 minute that was any good.
No, but I think it's not
the same thing as what we're talking about.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, the idea of this one was apparently that he thought the record label didn't care about him anymore. So he said, right, I'll teach you. And it's in common with the Neil Young track you're going to play next. I'll teach you by releasing this bizarre track. But what is really particularly strange about Chicken in Black is that you listen through to the end because you want to know what happens. So if you do want to know what happens, you're going to have to listen to it for yourself. Does the chicken become a successful country music singer, or does Johnny Cash become a successful bank robber? Only the song will tell you.
Come on, tell us.
It's the chicken.
Really? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Neil Young, Transformer Man, the one? Okay.
This is the one.
Just tell me why.
He decided he wanted to latch onto the new wave synth movement a little bit. Geffen didn't want to put this album out at all, or put any of these songs out at all, and decided later on, I think there was talk that they were going to try and sue him for putting this out because they said you're just releasing this deliberately bad. Whether it's deliberately bad or not is up for debate, but it definitely is bad.
To reinvent, on the Stones took on a bit of disco. Do you know something? It was actually pretty good. I thought a lot of us, all these people said, don't go there. And some people do rap and shouldn't do it, etc. Neil is often he'll take on any old yoke,
absolutely,
chameleon, just whatever's going, he'll do. And sometimes maybe he shouldn't.
Definitely sometimes he shouldn't. Yeah. But once again, we are not necessarily condemning the artists here.
No, I mean, but also sometimes that little sort of stupid thing they do is the biggest thing they ever. Look at what you call him, Chuck Berry. His only number one is My Feckin' Ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling, yes.
Actually, it wasn't called My Feckin' Ding-a-ling, I don't think. Go on.
But that was Transformer Man from Neil Young, so that would just brush that aside. There were two songs, when I was trying to think of what is the worst possible song from a great act, it came down to two songs in the end, from two artists. Ooh. The two artists are The Beatles and The Beach Boys, right? So two artists with amazing repertoires, again, extensive repertoires, which is perhaps where some of this comes from. So I'm going to start with The Beatles because I do think that The Beach Boys song deserves special treatment.
It's so bad.
It's probably the worst song. And what makes it probably even worse is that it's probably one of the worst songs ever. Okay. But let's do Revolution Number 9 from the Beatles, first of all, to the White Album again. It's 8 minutes 20 there or thereabouts. Lennon talked about it being various things, the Diary of a Revolution, his autobiography, his life, or his autobiography of things that were still to come.
Right, okay. But the problem with the Revolution Number 9 was on the double album, it was after Sgt. Pepper's, they could do what they liked, and they did do what they liked, and you thought, if they're going to have a 9-minute kind of experimental piece, man, that like it might actually be pretty good.
And it isn't.
It really isn't, you know. It just isn't any good at all. It's Number 9? Number 9? Number 9. There's 9 minutes of this. I'm not playing at all.
Number 9.
Oh, my God, I can quote this song. I actually know it. The what to see? The twist.
Number 9.
This one wouldn't test well in an auditorium, I think.
No, but they're also experimenting with stereo and stuff, and it goes from ear to ear.
Amazing,
wow.
Amazing. But there's a novelty to it for the first 2 or 3 minutes. There's a novelty to it, and afterwards you think this is going to go somewhere. But trust us, it doesn't.
It's messing around in the studio. I know there's books written about this damn song.
Yes.
And they're no good
at them. But there are defenders of this. There are people who write defenders.
For God's sake.
And only quite recently, because it was the anniversary of their appearance, you know, their first stateside appearance.
There's
quite
always recently. An anniversary with the Beatles. Absolutely.
But somebody wrote a long essay as to why Revolution Number 9 was actually a forgotten gem. They were wrong, of course, but they wrote the essay
what
nonetheless.
What you really need to do is the people who write it, what were you doing back in 68 when this came out? Where were you? Whose flat were you in? How horizontal were you?
Enough. I think there's only so much.
And the good text there says, I love Transformer, man.
Good. Good for you, Neil.
Anyway,
fair play.
The Beatles one just goes on, the Revolution 9 and back tapes and all the rest of it, etc.
Yes.
A pity because, like, you know, they were in a position to do whatever they wanted. Mm. They just, like, the Hey Jude thing was been 8 minutes, 7 minutes, they got it played on the radio, and they could have done something with this.
But once again, it doesn't, if you can forget about it, it doesn't make the White Album any less of a great album.
Yeah, here's the creepy bits, look. George searching for the inner light.
If you play it backwards, it's George, and this is a terrible song.
Turn me on, dead man. Okay, so go on.
This is it. So this is the pièce de résistance of terrible songs by great bands. The Beach Boys, right?
Yeah.
Beach Boys, one of the seminal bands of the 60s and the 70s. There was a particular sound that they brought about, you know, Brian Wilson, Dennis, the whole lot. They had just something that all came together at once and worked really, really well. So many good albums, such a good sound. But things took a sort of a turn for the worst. Obviously, personally, within the band, there were issues. I think Dennis died in 83. Brian Wilson had his own sort of health problems. So the band had started to fall apart, but they were still around. They were still touring. Nobody particularly cared that they were still around. But then they released Kokomo. And Kokomo got nominated for a Grammy, which I presume it must have been in a film or something somewhere. So it got them some sort of level of acceptance again. And they said, right, we've got to go back into the studio. But this time, we've got to be relevant. We've got to matter. Mike Love at this stage was doing lead vocals on the Beach Boys songs. Released this album. The album is called Summer in Paradise. Sold about 10,000 copies. It is one of the worst albums ever produced.
Okay.
And it spawned, I think, not just one of the worst songs by a great band, but one of the worst songs just ever in this particular
track.
I do not like this song at all.
Simon Marr, good man yourself. Thank you very much indeed. Just before I play a bit of that, the Beach Boys' Summer of Love, there's another one here like says that Around the Sun, the R.E.M. album shouldn't even exist, says that one there, maybe, so I don't know. I mean, I do know, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I've got one on my phone here from a friend of mine who's outraged in one way, because I mean, I've got a good friend who loves Revolution Number 9. He lives in LA, by the way.
Fair enough.
There you go. But I've got one here. Look, he just says, Neil Young, rubbish. You're talking nonsense. You know why? He was trying to communicate with his autistic son with Transformer Man. That's what he says in his autobiography.
Fair enough. Okay, well, I'll grant him that then.
Yeah, so consider. Hold on, just listen. Revolution 9 is still playing.
And will do forever.
Okay, the Beach Boys, Summer of Love.